You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Friday, April 28th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the King, Scott Angle, CTM Baseball's Matt Modica, no Corey Parson today, I am Greg Sussman, and it is Friday, round 2 and 3 of the NFL Draft. NBA playoffs in full swing. NHL playoffs not going well for Matt Modica. It would have to be one of the worst days Matt Modica's left yesterday.
Yesterday was a pretty rough one. I mean, from the Mets to the Rangers to the Bills not getting one of the top wide receivers. Quick shout out to Mama Modica on a speedy recovery. And there's a whole lot of stuff to get down on today.
Absolutely. Scott, how are you, my man?
Doing all right, Greg. Hope you're doing okay. Yeah, looking forward to round 2 and 3 of the NFL draft. As I told you, the Seahawks always trade out of the first round, and they did it again.
Well, that was the most impressive thing to me, because I sat there, and I got home late, and I wound up having people over for the draft, and all I wanted to do was just like...
Oh, nice. You know, had a little draft party?
Yeah, I had a little draft party, and I just wanted to sit there and be like, you know, conk out, but whatever. I had a little draft party last night after I got home from work, and I told my... We get into Seattle, I was like... Scotty says they trade down every year, 7 years in a row. They're going to trade down. And not only do they trade down once, they did it twice. And they traded right out of the first round. I was like, this man knows his team.
Out of the last 6 years.
Okay. Yeah. So this guy knows his team very, very well. Just like I know my team with the Giants have made 4 trades in 11 years in the draft. They have no idea, have absolutely no idea how to work a draft. And for 2 years in a row, have seen all the guys they want go right before them because everybody knew who they wanted. And instead of doing something about it and seeing a prospect fall like O.J. Howard, we'll get into that 1 second, the Giants just let it happen. And I'm just so infuriated by it. Like, maybe this kid will be awesome, but you're seeing the guys go exactly who you want and do nothing about it? That's just amateur hour.
Yeah, I was surprised myself. I thought the Giants would make a move. I was actually hoping the Bills would trade back up and take O.J. Howard. I mean, I think Howard is a special kind of player. I think he's an impact player. I think he's an NFL player more than... Though the kid they got, I really like. I didn't think he was going to go that high, though. I thought he'd be a second rounder or so.
Sure.
This was like a fantasy football draft with like all the offensive players going early.
Yeah, in a way. And it's very, very funny, Scotty, that almost today, like, you feel a little justified, right? Like, everyone telling you O.J. Howard's a top 10 pick and how great this guy is. And maybe the position, and maybe it was the school, because all these Alabama kids really, really fell last night. But O.J. Howard goes barely in the top 20.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I know you guys are all big O.J. Howard fans, and I could be wrong, but I just feel like with big difference makers on the board, it's... I just don't see spending like that high of a pick on the tight end.
And there you go. He lasts all the way to number 19. The Giants take the second tight end instead of trading up 5 effing spots. And they get Evan Engram, and maybe he'll be good. Like, all of a sudden, maybe this kid's like the fastest player in the draft. I'm like, all right, that sounds awesome to me. So who knows?
You know? I thought Ross was the fastest player in the
draft. Outside
of
John Ross, okay. Scott, you knew I was just being facetious and hyperbole, and I'm throwing hyperbole out there. The second fastest player, not really. That's not even true. But he's just super fast. He's a 4.42.
Very fast for a tight end.
Very, very fast for a tight end. He didn't play tight end in college. He basically... he's basically like Jason Morrow, and hopefully he's not as bad.
Marcus Colston.
Marcus Colston wasn't fast in college. He was a 7th-round pick. Like, Jason Morrow was awesome in college. The problem was he didn't know how to play tight end, and I feel like that's also the problem.
if they got another Jason Morrow, that's a big...
Well, you know, unless he was like college... Unless he's like college Jason Morrow, like, that'd be cool.
Which means he's not going to be a good pro.
Well, maybe he'll be better in the pros. I'm just saying.
Hopefully.
Like, yes, indeed, hopefully. Yeah. We're going to get deep into the draft. We're going to start at the top and just go down. I think that's the best way to do it. Scotty's right that it was a fantasy land draft last night with what these teams were doing. I think my favorite, like, little nugget, of course, break it down all this hour, is Cleveland now owns Houston's first and second round pick next year. Like, that's just like incredible to me.
Yeah.
That this team traded both their first and second round pick. They traded their first round pick to get a quarterback, and they traded their second round pick to give a quarterback. So it's crazy. It's crazy. And of course, the story coming out will be that Cleveland, for the second year in a row, passed by all these quarterbacks. Carson Wentz last year, certainly. And this year, every one of them. And teams are moving up and down the board. Of course, my team doesn't know how to do that, so that was cool. And, you know, even Matt, both of your teams made some trades, and I think it makes it more fun, and you get extra picks, and, you know, who knows, of course, where they will wind up in the future. I think so. It makes the draft so exciting. Of course, round 2 and 3 today. We'll talk about who we want our teams to get. I know you guys are talking about who will go early today, Scott. So we're going to break all the draft down coming up this hour next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. We are off and running on a Friday. Get pumped. Get ready. Draft is underway. Stick around. More Roto Experts coming your way next. We are back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. King, Matty Mo, on a Friday. We're rocking, we're rolling here. Let's start at the top. So, unshockingly, or not shockingly, Myles Garrett was 1 overall. So, all that BS Trubisky number 1 was a smokesuit. It was trying to get people to trade up. Fine. Doesn't happen. They take the best player in the draft. And the Browns, you know, they feel good. They feel good. And now I'm almost wondering, by the way, if, like, this entire Trubisky thing, as things played out, Scotty, this entire Trubisky thing was to try to get the Bears to trade up to 1. And, like, basically the Browns were probably cool with Myles Garrett or Solomon Thomas. I feel like I feel like this entire thing was to get the Bears to trade up to 1 and basically get the package that the Niners got. That's kind of my thought process now. Because immediately after Myles Garrett trade, all of a sudden we're like, whoa, there's a trade. And the coolest thing about this was, and I was actually on Twitter for most of the draft. The coolest thing about this was it didn't break on Twitter first. It broke on TV first. And I was like, all right, there's a trade. Who is it? I was like, the Bears? And it was crazy. And then the fun and the best part about that was on the NFL Network, Mayock goes to trading up for Leonard Fournette. And on the on ESPN, they're like, no, they're trading it for Solomon Thomas. Clearly, he was higher on the draft board. And all of a sudden, boom, quarterback, which nobody had until it was announced, which was awesome. I know at least the room I was in was like, oh, my God, they're in. Like, they scream, and they're jeering, and it was awesome. And, of course, you read the statistics this morning that sees stuff along the lines of the Bears passed on Dak Prescott 4 times in, like, the 4th round last year. And they've traded 3 picks for Mitchell Trubisky. And Mitchell Trubisky may be a Hall of Famer. I have no idea. But just crazy. 13 starts, Scott, Mitchell Trubisky has started in college. The Bears traded their draft away and now $47.5 million guaranteed over the next 4 years to Mike Glennon and Mitchell Trubisky. What was your reaction?
I thought they traded up to get Thomas, too, because that defense was so bad last year, number 30 overall and in need of help. To me, personally, and, you know, the team's looking at it differently, I don't think he's the best quarterback in the draft. You know, but I think when you look at the film, I think he's maybe the most pro-ready to evolve into a pocket passer, and he's could be a combination of that classic pocket passer with some mobility. So that's why I liked him. But I think that and the other two teams that traded up, this speaks to the state of quarterback. It is so hard. So hard to get a quality starting quarterback in today's NFL. And secondly, I believe draft choices like Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott have actually changed the complexion of how these teams draft. Yes, these guys might be flawed, but we don't want to have to have somebody else steal them in the second and third round. We're going to aggressively go after them, even though if they're not perfect.
Yeah, I mean, what the Bears did was quite confusing. The fan base was none too happy on Twitter. A great interview I did hear while I was listening to the draft on my drive home was Solomon Thomas actually
works both ways.
Actually, had a class with John Lynch when John Lynch went back to get his degree. I thought that was really cool. And obviously, the Bears wanted Trubisky. And, I mean, it seemed like Thomas was the 49ers guy all along. So, like you said, everybody had to be assuming that the Bears really wanted him. Scott made the point. The Bears' defense has been horrific the last few years. So, I mean, it was interesting. It was fun, but, I don't know, a little confusing.
It was obviously very, very confusing, and that was like the first major shock of the draft. And then it kind of went on point for a couple picks here. At number three was the Solomon Thomas, the Niners, what we always thought. And then Leonard Fournette does wind up with the Jaguars. And I actually watched the Jaguars draft room clip where David Caldwell talked to Fournette, then Shad Khan did, and Tom Coughlin does. And literally the best part about this was David Caldwell, the GM, is on the phone with Fournette. And in the background, Coughlin's, who's next to Caldwell, goes, "Ask me if he got injured in the last week. Ask him before we turn the card in." And he was like, kind of being serious. Like, he really was making sure he wasn't hurt. But Fournette to the Jaguars, man, I'm going to start with you because this is the, you know, Mitchell Trubisky to the Bears. We don't know if he'll start. We'll see. So I can't really talk about the fantasy impact there. But we can certainly talk about the fantasy impact with Leonard Fournette. Now, this is the place, along with Christian McCaffrey, who we'll get to, obviously, in 2 seconds, that we most expected them to probably go, where we had him commonly mocked, Fournette to the Jags. And this is exactly what you two predicted yesterday, was Fournette to the Jags and McCaffrey to the Panthers. I didn't think Fournette would wind up going there. I was wrong. Matt, start with you. Fournette on the Jags, what is his value? And then I'll give you some names to you as well, Scotty, comparing would I rather have Fournette or blank. So what is your opinion on Fournette with Jacksonville?
I mean, I think this was a great pick for them. I mean, for many different factors. It's going to help the quarterback out. It's going to help their top wide receiver out. But they've invested in the defense. They invested in the defense in the draft last year. They've made some really good signings this year. So this is a guy that I believe is a special talent. I don't care. He runs upward and stuff. This guy's big. He's fast. I heard him say he looks to play at 228, 230, which I think is perfect. And he's a guy that I'm going to have a lot of interest in come fantasy time.
Scotty, Leonard Fournette with the Jaguars, how do you like the fit?
I think it's an ideal fit. You got it. Everybody on Twitter was saying, like, even the average fan, you got to take pressure off of Bortles, which is obvious. The one thing is this team doesn't have a great offensive line. He's not a creative runner. But you know, then again, no pick is absolutely perfect. No situation is going to be like Ezekiel Elliott every time. You know, the guy's going to be a finisher. They really need it. This was the missing piece in the offense. You got to have more offensive balance here. Bortles got sacked so much and threw interceptions because this team was playing from behind constantly in addition to the offensive line issues.
Totally agree. They had some major injuries. Of course, Chris Ivory was banged up, and they needed help. Blake Bortles needed help, and I think that was the main reason the Jaguars drafted Leonard Fournette. Before we go to his value, let's go to the other running back who was drafted. Of course, 8 overall, you had Carolina select Christian McCaffrey. Something that was like the easiest connected dots that we had seen in recent days, like what was going to happen. McCaffrey goes to Carolina. Scott, I know we've kind of predicted this over the last few days, but the amount of versatility McCaffrey brings to this backfield is really, really exciting.
Yeah, he's got great cutback moves. He makes people miss. He's a great downfield pass receiver. Running that read option with Carolina is going to make that offense electric. I think he's going to be very good PPR. This guy could maybe be the next Brian Westbrook, I'm thinking, you know, in terms of fantasy. The one thing with him, though, is like, and we've seen it before, I know they don't have Tolbert anymore, but they still have Stewart. I don't know if he's going to be a goal line back because, you know, he doesn't have that physical build where when you get near the goal line, that's like the most compact area on the field, and it tends to be very physical. But, you know, the guy can pretty much score from anywhere on the field. I think it's a great fit. And like Tony said on our morning show, see, talk about a three-down player. He's a four-down player. He's a returner, too.
Yeah, we talked about it. I think Scott hit a lot of the points. I mean, especially, like, I only play in PPR, and this guy's going to have a lot of value. You mean, you got Olsen. They need Funchess to maybe step up, too, this year. I don't know if he can, but if he can make a next step in his game. But, I mean, the guy does bring a lot. He's suited for this offense, and he's going to be – I mean, both these running backs are going to be in the conversation moving on up.
For The obvious question now becomes, who would you rather have in fantasy drafts this year in Leonard Fournette or Christian McCaffrey? Scotty?
Standard Fournette, PPR McCaffrey.
Matt?
I pretty much want to say the same thing as Scott said. I just think Fournette's going to be special.
You love Fournette.
Really special.
Yeah.
I think it's obvious you take Fournette. I'm sorry, you obviously take McCaffrey in the PPR. I think that's like clear what you do. I think I was going to say I would take McCaffrey in both, but the touchdowns for Fournette should be, like, even this draft, in this war room video I saw, they expect Fournette to punch it in over and over and over again. So I think I'll go with you guys.
The one thing that will tie break with Fournette, though, is he's such a physical back that dishes as well as he takes it. I kind of worry about his durability more than I do McCaffrey.
The other thing, he said he wants to play at 228. So, I mean, if he what he did at 240 in the combine, what he was able to run, you drop 10, 12 pounds.
Wow.
Just like that. All right, gentlemen, let's play a little game here. Would you rather have 2017 Leonard Fournette or Mark Ingram?
Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, it's Fournette for me.
Leonard Fournette or Todd Gurley?
Leonard Fournette. I still feel like Gurley's going to struggle.
I got to go with Scott. I mean, Gurley's got Austin and Robert Woods. That's the receivers.
Goff the quarterback.
Leonard Fournette or Marshawn Lynch?
Leonard Fournette. Yes. Leonard Fournette is younger, fresher, bigger part of the offense.
The question to me is Leonard Fournette or Jordan Howard?
Okay, why are you better at this game than me? Oh, man, that's a really good one.
Do more.
You know what? Because it's my show, I'm gonna take a break before I answer that question. Hey, more than draft talk. We're making a lot of comparisons for you. Fantasy angles only. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The question was posed, Leonard Fournette or Jordan Howard? Scott, we go to you first.
Oh, man. That's a really tough one. This is why Modica is good at this game. It's like, you know, Fournette has... I worry about Fournette's durability, just the style that he plays. Howard kind of worries me because, like, he's had a great rookie year, but sometimes those type of guys in their sophomore year, you know, tend to trend down a little bit. And then I got to look at the offense of Jacksonville and think it maybe it's become more complete. I'm going to slightly lean Fournette.
I really like Jordan Howard, so this is really, really... I mean, I'm struggling with this one, too, because, I mean, Jordan Howard was one of those guys that I was looking at after those five running backs were gone. I was like, you know what? This is a nice, safe guy to take. But I did want to see, as we were talking the last couple of days, what was going to happen in the draft. Where were these guys? Where were these running backs going to go to? As of today, I might lean Howard, but on draft day, I think I'd probably end up taking Fournette.
Well, you say that, of course, your draft day is tomorrow. You have your first expert draft, so I'm excited to see what goes down there, especially with some of these guys that went last night. So that'll be really interesting. I think I would go Howard right now. I can certainly see myself being talking to Fournette when it's all said and done. I'd probably go Howard, though.
And I'll say the other thing, too, like in the PPR leagues, especially like the NFFC, the one thing I've learned from, you know, it's more of a points league than a head-to-head.
Okay.
Which you have to take that. It takes some people, even myself, like that first year to learn that. But what I've learned from, like, the guys that are in the Hall of Fame or consistently win, that's why I've changed my view on fantasy football. It's not as lucky as people try to say it's lucky.
Okay.
I see Vaccaro, Edelman, Billy Waz. You
same
know,
dudes win.
Same guys winning year after year. And... you know, the PPR, McCaffrey is going to be the interesting dude. I'm dying to see where he goes now in an NFFC draft.
It makes it really interesting. So, why don't we play a little thing with Christian McCaffrey here, shall we? Christian McCaffrey or DeMarco Murray? Oh, I got a good one now.
You do.
I'm gonna say McCaffrey. I do worry about the Murray durability at times, and you know the fact he's got to share in the backfield too.
The thing with Murray is, I mean, he is, and he just sniffs that end zone. And Corey's made a good point of late. Like, they are going to run this guy into the ground.
Right, then he can't run anymore. They'll go to Derrick Henry, like that.
So, I mean, knowing what Murray can do, and especially now that they got, I mean, I love the Corey Davis pick. I love it. As much as I'm angry that he didn't go to 10 or that the Bills didn't trade up and get him, I really like that Corey Davis pick. I'm going to go Murray, just because the dude has done it time and time again, but it's a very interesting argument.
I would go Murray, for the record. Would you go Fournette over Murray?
As of today, I'm still going to go Murray. I mean, Murray's just proven it. The guy really has, except for that 1 year in like Philadelphia when he wasn't used right, and maybe his head wasn't on right, so whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
like, but I totally throw that out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like I said, the addition of that big wide receiver, I mean, I love it. You have to love the quarterback. You Mariota to me. I said it yesterday. He was a top 12 quarterback.
Gotta like him.
He's cemented in that, and he's a guy I'm definitely going to be talking. Him and Winston are two guys
Look at that in a second. All right, let me give you a.
I would go McCaffrey over Murray.
You go McCaffrey over Murray?
Yeah.
How come?
I just feel like the guy's going to be so explosive and versatile. In PPR, he's going to catch more passes than Murray. I think he can score from anywhere on the field. Maybe he'll score a touchdown or two less than Murray, but he'll more than compensate for it in the receptions.
I'll do one more for you before we move on. Leonard Fournette. Get ready for it.
Okay.
Get ready for it. Mm-hmm. I had it, and then I just lost it. That's why I'm pausing. Leonard Fournette.
Dramatic.
Leonard Fournette or Lamar Miller?
Leonard Fournette. I just don't trust Lamar Miller to be consistent.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Scott for that point. I mean, hopefully the Texans, as they have stated, will use him more correctly. He's not a guy that should be touching the ball 30 times a game. That's been proven. That should have been the case last season. They should have known that. But, yeah.
All right, there you go. Let's continue on, shall we? And we go shall. One more pick, number 5 overall, just like that. A lot of skill position players here, which makes it fun for us. First wide receiver off the board, and I thought about you, Matt Modica, and I thought about Mike Florio as is picking him off the board, and I just felt like the knife being driven into you and just repeatedly poking, because there was Corey Davis, number 5 overall. The 3 wide receivers in this draft, Corey Davis, John Ross, and Mike Williams, all went, to me, a little bit higher than we expected. And it was clear the Titans were going to come out of this first round with a wide receiver. We just didn't necessarily think it would be at 5. We had heard repeatedly that Titans were probably going to trade out of their spot and they're just waiting for the draft. They didn't, and instead they went out and got their wide receiver. That wide receiver was the man that many believed would be the first wide receiver off the board. Many believed was the best, including R. Jason Braddock and our Jake Seeley. And that was Corey Davis. I know you've been talking for weeks about Corey Davis on the Bills. Instead, he was number 5 to Tennessee.
Yeah, I thought if Tennessee didn't trade out of this spot, they would. I stated this a couple months ago, and people kind of thought I was crazy, that they would get a wide receiver and a tight end. I thought O.J. Howard and one of these wide receivers would be on the Titans. I thought it made sense, you know. But that didn't happen. I think it's a great pick fantasy-wise. I think this is a fantastic pick for the Titans as a Bills fan. You know, I shed a tear.
Scott Engel, Corey Davis with Tennessee. How do you like that fit? Of course, Marcus Mariota really just needs more weapons. He has Delanie Walker. Sean Matthews had a nice year last year. But he needs more weapons. Corey Davis has the speed and he has the ability.
There's all these kind of comparisons out there with Corey Davis. I've heard Terrell Owens. I've heard Alshon Jeffrey. You know, all kinds of comparisons. All I know is, I know they're the health concerns, but to me, he was the most complete receiver coming out of the draft in terms of his route running and his all-around ability. He's got the potential to be a red zone threat, and he is great in yardage after the catch. You can throw this kid a bubble screen. You gets behind a defense. You know, he's almost Demaryius Thomas-like in that regard. Like, Demaryius Thomas is the kind of guy you can throw a bubble screen, he can take off and get behind the defense, he can be gone. this kid can do that too. I think he's maybe the most complete receiver left in the draft, was available in the draft, and it's a good fit for Mariota. You mentioned all those compliments you read. You got Tajay Sharp coming on. You got Rishard Matthews. But this guy could quickly develop into that number one wide receiver. I think for quickest impact, it was the best pick.
Corey Davis is somebody that in fantasy is going to be very, very interesting. Like, for instance, Scott, I'll start with you. Would you rather Corey Davis or Corey Coleman?
I think Corey Davis. I think he's a more complete receiver. And at least today, now, I don't know what tomorrow brings. Maybe even Jay Cutler. Right now, that's a better quarterback situation, too.
Yeah, I mean, I want Corey Davis, and I think the Browns receiver that I want this year is Kenny Britt.
Really? Okay. How come?
I mean, I think Kenny Britt has flashed it in the past. I mean, the situation he was in last year was god-awful. If they can get any upgrade at the quarterback for the Browns, like I said...
I don't think they're going to.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, I don't know neither, but I mean, much as everybody hates Jay Cutler, if you threw him in there... I think Kenny Britt just needs somebody. He just needs an adequate quarterback. And, you know, we keep talking and stuff, and this guy is not old. You know, Kenny Britt, he's been around for a while, but he's not old. He is talented. He's just never – it's not all translated over a full season.
All right, there you go. So, Corey Davis, would you rather have him this year, or would you rather have – here's an interesting one. Alshon Jeffrey in Philly.
I'm gonna go with Alshon Jeffrey, a healthy Alshon Jeffrey.
You seem confident about that.
The only thing with Alshon Jeffrey is he needs to stay on the damn field. He needs to play games. That's the biggest knock on Jeffrey. I mean, he's proven when healthy that he can do it. He can do it with another number one receiver on his team. So he's proven that to me. So I have to go Jeffrey.
All right, Scott Engel, what about you?
I'm going to go with Jeffrey. I'm going to go with the veteran. I think it's a good situation for him to bounce back in. Both these guys can have health questions around him, but I'll always go with the veteran if he's talented and he's proven over a rookie who's still got to learn some nuances of the NFL game.
All right, there you go. Let's continue on here with the draft. Jamal Adams is arguably the best player in the draft. He goes sixth to the Jets. I know Jets fans are pretty ecstatic about that. And then number seven, we had the second wide receiver off the board, and that was Mike Williams. As I said yesterday, I thought Mike Williams would wind up going to the Titans. He doesn't. He goes to San Diego. He goes to Los Angeles. And Mike Williams, paired with Keenan Allen potentially, paired with Tyrell Williams potentially, paired with Hunter Henry potentially, that sounds like a pretty good offense to me, Scotty.
Yeah, it does. And then you got Melvin Gordon. You got Henry coming on. You still got Travis Benjamin there. You can see what he can do all over a full year. Tyrell Williams.
Inman.
Keenan Allen. Inman to me is always going to be a secondary guy, but it's just like from a pure NFL perspective, that adds even more depth.
Mm-hmm.
Not too crazy about him fantasy-wise. You have to wonder, though, this is interesting because they say, okay, Keenan Allen can't stay healthy. This guy will step forward. If Keenan Allen is healthy, what a duo we have and what depth we have. To me, Corey Davis was more polished, but this guy is more spectacular. He can make every back shoulder fade. He can make one-handed plucks and, you know, he's a better deep receiver. I think Corey Davis is going to be more consistent, but this guy's going to be more exciting to watch. But I think initially Corey Davis will be the better fantasy player. But in a dynasty league, I might want to have Mike Williams first.
This one really hurt. The Ranger game had the second period had ended. I had the app on in the car. Just found out Corey Davis was taken. I was let down just from that. And then I heard the Jets pick. And then coming up, the Los Angeles Chargers. I hear Mike Williams go. And the expletives were flying in my Jeep on the ride home. Because I knew right then and there, the Bills draft had taken a turn for the worse.
I've never seen that side of you. It'd be interesting.
So I once again agree that from a fantasy perspective, I don't know how much to love it. Now, I think the better question, I guess, I'll go to you, Mojica. What does this do, if anything, to Keenan Allen? Like, I know I talk myself into Keenan Allen every year because of the receptions and whatnot. What does this do to Keenan Allen's value?
I mean, I'm curious to see where he's going to go. I mean, you have to still like Keenan Allen. He's going to be the number one guy. He's still Rivers' man if he's on the field.
5 seconds, Scott. Does this totally kill Tyrell Williams?
I think it bumps him back to the point where he's a wide receiver 4.
One more wide receiver in the top 10. We'll break it down when we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. We're back here. Roto Experts in the Morning. Going over for... still in that top 10. So much went down to the top 10. Talked about Corey Davis and the running backs. Talked a little bit about Mike Williams here. And now we get to the next wide receiver that was taken here. And that was John Ross, who we, you know, expected. I don't know if he's picked all three of these guys in the top 10, but there they went. And you know what's so crazy, Scotty? And you told me to look at this from a fantasy perspective, of course. Quarterback number 2. Running back number 4, right? So two skip positions right there. Wide receiver 5. Skip 6. Then 7, 8, 9, 10, all four of those skill position players. What is that? 6 out of the top 10 or quarterbacks?
Eight out of the top 12 were offensive picks.
I don't care about the offensive picks. I care about, because there's no offensive lineman. But yeah, so I do care about that. Because I was going to say, normally the offensive lineman, that doesn't matter.
There wasn't any.
But you're right, there
only
wasn't any until Garrett Bowles.
Until he, at the end of the first round.
Right,
yeah. And
Ryan Ramczyk, right.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. 8 out of the top 12 skill position players here. Which is just wild for the NFL draft. At number 9 here, John Ross, the speedy wide receiver out of Washington. This was a really interesting fit for me because I didn't really get it. Like, they drafted Tyler Boyd very early last year. Of course, A.J. Green's still a stud there. I know you want to build more weapons around Andy Dalton, but this one didn't make sense to me, Scott.
I can see it making sense, though, because Boyd is not necessarily a speed merchant. You have the big receiver in Green. You got the tweener who's really like Boyd. And this guy is, you know, he's got tremendous separation speed. And he's also interesting. He's got tremendous body control, and he's really got control of his speed. He knows when to stop. He knows when to start. He's not bad catching a slant or a curl or something like that. And it's just like, but when he separates, though, this is fun to watch. I've seen the DeSean Jackson comparisons. And I don't see a DeSean Jackson here. I think this guy's going to be more consistent than a DeSean Jackson. I know he's a DeSean Jackson's a big play guy, but I think this kid has the potential to be more consistent. And I think it's a big play element that maybe is missing from the Bengals offense.
Yeah, I think the Bengals are in a situation where, you know, they actually needed to add the offense. And this guy does it. You know, Andy Dalton, you got him coming back. A.J. Green, as you said, he is the stud. But they needed more weapons on offense. And as much as this team is getting another year older, you know, their core is aging. They want to compete. They want to be there. And if you got to play the Steelers, you got to score points.
100%. And, you know, Mel Kiper Jr. actually said after they lost Mohamed Sanu, the Bengals desperately needed, and Marvin Jones as well, the Bengals desperately needed a wide receiver to help Brandon LaFell and help Tyler Boyd. So he had a wide receiver as the biggest need on the board. But he thought John Ross, number 9, which is a little bit of a reach. And I thought so, too. Like, he's a speedster. He's had major injury issues at Washington. So I get it. I get he's the game breaker. I just thought it was early.
You talk about Kiper's comments, though, and you look at the guys that he lost, like Sanu and Marvin Jones. This is a different type of wide receiver.
Totally.
Ed's that different element. It's like the pick doesn't confound me. You mentioned, though, health is an issue with the guys like this, though, but you know, we've seen Antonio Brown leading changing the game in the last few years where you had to have the big wide receiver. You don't have to do that anymore. But, it's, you know, Some of these smaller guys can be top wide receivers.
It's totally true, as you've seen, of course, with Odell Beckham Jr., like not a big guy by any means.
Brandon Cooks,
yeah. Certainly, yeah. So
that's the guy that comes to mind.
All these smaller guys, yeah. and that was the name that came to mind last night, right?
Your
like,
guy,
can't
Doug
John
Baldwin.
Ross be Brandon Cooks?
Doug Baldwin's not a big guy.
Love Doug Baldwin.
Yeah, although he's not a speedster like this.
Right.
Well, I mean, obviously they need a defense, but. We would, as you mentioned, we thought these receivers might go later on. They all got pushed up. And I think in today's game, you have to push up the receivers. I really do. And that's why I was desperately hoping the Bills got one. And, you know, Brandon Cooks was tied to the Tennessee Titans. I remember, yeah, there was going to trade for him. And when that didn't happen, Ross was a name that was tied to the Titans. Ross was a name that possibly could have ended up in New Orleans, you know, a cheaper version that they could control. And, you know, that's how it played out.
That he is. So now we've talked about the three wide receivers off the board and the two running backs, right? Those are the... It's funny because those are the only guys that went, the only wide receivers, the only running backs, I think, that went in this draft when Dalvin Cook and Joe Mixon not going in the first round. So, given that, given you the three wide receivers, the two running backs, you know where they are. Who's the first one of them that you will be taking in fantasy football this year? Matt?
Out of the wide receivers?
No, out of every rookie that we've gone over thus far.
Every rookie that we've
top,
gone
the
over?
The top nine here.
It's going to probably be Fournette or McKay. It's going to be really close between those two.
It's going to be Fournette for you. You'd love Fournette.
What about you?
It's going to be McCaffrey for me.
Okay.
Explosive playmaker. And will score anytime he touches the ball from anywhere on the field. Versatility. That's what I want in fantasy football, versatility. I may get more touchdowns with Fournette. But I think, like I said before, in the last hour, I think the receptions will make up for it. And especially if I'm in a performance league where, like, you know, you get extra points for like 40, 50, you know, stuff like that.
I hate
that.
Those leagues. I'm not a fan of those leagues.
How come?
I just don't like it. You know, you get the, if your guy rushes for 98 yards and the other guy rushes for 102 yards, he gets bonus. It's like so stupid to me.
Not a bonus at 100, but I'm saying you get a bonus like if he rips off a 40-yard run or a 50-yard run.
I hear that, but I'm saying a lot of leagues have. If you get 100-yard rushing, 300-yard passing, I don't know.
So when it comes to the wide receivers, since you both chose the running backs first, which wide receiver do you take first? For me, it's pretty obvious, but I'll go to you guys. Scotty?
I'm going to go with the kid from the Titans, Corey Davis.
You're going with Corey Davis?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Corey Davis. I mean, the health of Keenan Allen will play a part, because if Keenan Allen has any kind of setbacks or anything like that, then that might change my mind. But I've been... Corey Davis has been my guy, so I'm going to stick with that.
I will also be going with Corey Davis as my top wide receiver here off the board. All right, now we get to where? Number 10, because that's where it continues to get interesting. Number 10, you saw the monster trade-up by Kansas City. Now, we had heard pretty consistently that KC was interested in Pat Mahomes, but we thought it was at 27. Not that they would trade all the way into the top 10 to get him. And I think it was crazy, even just 3 months ago, that you would have said that Deshaun Watson was going to wind up going after Pat Mahomes and Mitchell Trubisky, whoever those two were. But that's how it worked out. A Texas Tech guy who, obviously, we have not seen that offense translate into the NFL really consistently at all. But Casey gives up the farm to go out and get their quarterback. Now, I get it. To get your quarterback, you got to do what you got to do. Pat Mahomes is not a guy that's going to start this year. Alex Smith's going to start. We know he's under contract until 2019. Why did the Chiefs go this far, Matt, for Pat Mahomes?
I mean, if you just watch the Chiefs games, and I'm not sold that Mahomes can't be starting at some point this year, because Alex Smith, to me, just doesn't get that deep ball down there. He just doesn't do it. You watch the playoff game against the Steelers, there were guys deep, wide open. He didn't get them the ball. And that's been the problem.
I agree there. It's like, it seems like the one thing holding the Chiefs back all the time is the quarterback play. You know, you can give me what his winning percentage is, but when it comes to the postseason, you know, Alex Smith doesn't get the job done. He doesn't challenge defenses. And I like Mahomes. I think he's very, very dynamic. I think it's a perfect situation under Andy Reid and maybe even under Alex Smith to learn the finer points of the game. The guy makes tremendous, tremendous deep throws. Very dynamic as both a thrower and a runner. Needs to learn to become a pocket passer and make better decisions. This is the environment for him to do it.
Like Scott said, everything about Mahomes, like the build, the makeup, I really like. The one thing I don't like, as I've been stating, is I'm just not a fan of the Texas Tech system. It works great in college. He needs to now become a pro quarterback. Let's see if he can do it.
Yeah, with so many of these quarterbacks, they need to become a pro quarterback. But again, you know, getting a real difference-making quarterback is so, so hard. And, you know, I've talked about it over the last few years, and this draft is illustrative of that.
It certainly is, because two picks later, you saw Houston trade their first-round pick next year for Deshaun Watson. And I joked about it at the top of the show was that Houston traded their first-round pick to Cleveland for a quarterback and traded their second-round pick to get rid of a quarterback, and that's kind of what they did. And they trade up and get Deshaun Watson, which I thought was really interesting. Now, it makes sense, right? Like, he's clearly the last first-round quarterback that was there. They desperately need a quarterback, and we've said it all along. Corey said it repeatedly. Listen, you put Deshaun Watson on the Houston Texans, like, you have a team that is a Super Bowl contender. He has said that repeatedly, and Deshaun Watson has said, listen, if I can go anywhere, I want to go to Houston because that's where I think I can win the quickest. He obviously has a winning pedigree, back-to-back national championship games, a national championship this year. Deshaun Watson has proven to be a winner, if nothing else, in college. Will it translate to the NFL? We'll see.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think this pick did make a lot of sense with all things considered. I saw a tweet where they said Tom Savage was the quarterback. That's laughable. Watson's going to go in there. Watson's going to fight. He's going to compete. He is a proven winner. The arm strength is really my only concern.
Yep.
That's what I'm worried about. I think he's shown the progression, the player that he can be. But the arm strength has to be proven.
Yeah, Scotty. Yeah, it absolutely does. The arm strength is clearly the thing that is the question mark. But they're in the first, like, I admire what the Texans did, knowing they are in a position to really go out and compete for the playoffs, compete for a championship here. And they desperately needed a quarterback, and they had not taken a first-round quarterback in a couple of years. And, like, they went through this disgusting group of quarterbacks, and I give them credit for realizing immediately that this Brock Osweiler thing does not work. Him and Bill O'Brien clearly did not get along. They got rid of him, and they moved on to the next one. I give them a lot of credit for that.
I don't know where the arm strength is an issue. When I watch this guy, he throws such a beautiful deep ball. So why is there concern about arm strength?
It's the miles per hour, though. College to pro is different, but it's a big difference.
But every time I see this guy throw a deep ball, it's beautiful looking. It's just like he throws a tremendous. To me, he's like the most talented guy with the best leadership thing. The only things I don't understand is that the arm strength concerns. And number one, you know, I like this. This is a really good fit, I think. And DeAndre Hopkins is like has to be so happy today. But a Super Bowl contender right away with a rookie quarterback, I don't think that's happening.
I mean, weren't the Cowboys, though? I mean, as much as you want to give Corey crap, Cowboys were a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
They got eliminated in the first round. Not at the fault of Dak Prescott, but, you know, they were a winning team. I don't know that. When you look at the decision-making here and the fact that he hasn't played in a pro-style offense, I don't know if he could make a quickest impact as Dak Prescott.
Yeah, but that defense is... Look, if you get a healthy J.J. Watt for a full season, you mentioned the weapons. And the guy that's not been talked about, who I think is a deep sleeper who's really going to emerge on the scene this year for the Texans, is Braxton Miller. Everybody's talking about, you know, Hopkins, like you said, he's got to be ecstatic. You know, puts him more on the game, but
I think within 2-3 years they could be a Super Bowl contender. But and look, it happened for the Cowboys, but I think expecting any rookie team with a rookie quarterback is to contend for the Super Bowl. That's a stretch.
I disagree. I say 2-3 years Super Bowl contender. They're a Super Bowl contender now. Yeah. They go to the playoffs every year with nothing at quarterback. You give J.J. Watt back to this defense. You give DeAndre Hopkins a quarterback again? A guy that he played with in college? Is like the Clemson connection here? I love
this
DeAndre Hopkins.
Is ready to beat a Roethlisberger or Brady in the playoffs? I don't think so.
I think that defense is damn good.
I think the defense, like you say, 2-3 years, that defense is going to look a lot different. Watt's going to be older. You know, guys are going to be up for contract that they're not going to be able to afford. So I think they had to make that move at 12. I think the Chiefs moved up to 10 because they knew... They knew the Cardinals were going to take Mahomes, so.
I like Watson. I think he's good, but the first year to contend for the Super Bowl, I think that's a lot to ask of any rookie.
But they made the playoffs, and the first half they played the Patriots pretty tight. They just didn't have a quarterback.
I like him. I think expecting them to get to the Super Bowl in the first year is a lot. I'm not saying
that they're a lock for the Super Bowl, but they get into the playoffs. It's a team you have to watch out for. I mean, just their defense alone. If he doesn't make a mistake, they're in the game.
I think, though, when it comes down to it, you have to have a quarterback that, like, has to be ready in the playoffs to make those kind of plays. You know, there's going to be an adjustment period for him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But the only way you can have the opportunity to make the plays is to get there and to learn, right? Like,
I think he will. I would be surprised to hear it's sapped by the second year, but the first, okay. I just think, is too much to ask.
I know you said a lot. You said that repeatedly. To be fair to Scotty, he has said that repeatedly when he came down to Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. Scott was adamant about this adjustment period when he got to the playoffs. Dak played great in the playoffs. Of course, it didn't work out. But, you know, Not everyone's Dak Prescott, as Scott has alluded to. When we come back, Roto Experts at the Park is next. We'll get back to the draft in the 9 o'clock hour. When we come back, Scotty talks to Ryan Zimmerman of the Nationals. Stick around. More Roto Experts coming your way next. Back here, Roto Experts in the morning. We're back to the draft. We've done first 12 picks or so. We got a whole another. We got another 20 to get to. The fun ones, of course. We'll pause for a few minutes to head to the ballpark, because I know Scott got a lot of chance to talk to the Mets and the Nationals over the last week. You heard from Chris Spire yesterday, and you hear the entire interview on demand right now. Certainly at RotoExperts.com and on demand, Audio Boon, iTunes, wherever you listen to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scott, you also had a chance to talk to Ryan Zimmerman, who's one of the hottest players in baseball. The guy seemingly hits a home run every single day. He's like Eric Thames Jr. here. Seemingly every single day, Scotty. But Ryan Zimmerman has just been so, so hot, and I'm sure you were excited to get a chance to talk to him.
Yeah, and I've been talking about like how he's changed his launch angle, and you know, there's a really good Washington Post article recently about how he's over time he's embraced analytics more, and here he talks about it. You mentioned how the game has changed, like people interspersing analytics a lot more, like guys like Dan look at that a lot. You know, how much do you place in the value of that nowadays, although it was different when you first started?
I think there's definitely value in the numbers. You know, I think they've been around now where the sample size is large enough where you can look at them and, you know, learn and actually use them to help yourself. I'm a big believer in, you know, the eye test as well, though. I think baseball is a sport where, you know, a lot of things can't be measured by numbers. But if you can combine both of those, I think you can definitely use it to your advantage and improve and make yourself a better player.
I think what's really interesting is that some of these veteran players who in the past have been so ignorant when it came to analytics and so against, like, incorporating them and just doing what they grew up on have struggled, right? And instead of just being stubborn, they have found ways to improve their game, Ryan Zimmerman being a prime example.
Yeah, you know, he lockers next to Daniel Murphy, and Murphy's really like, he studies fan graphs, and it kind of like bled over to Zimmerman, who actually admitted to the Washington Post that like he really wasn't into analytics, but he's trying to like, you know, at this age to keep himself more relevant at 32. Especially when he hasn't stayed healthy, and he changed his launch angle, and it's worked wonders. On this recent road trip for the Nationals, both when they went 9-1, both he and Trey Turner hit over 450 with 8 extra base hits, and he had 15 RBIs, and Turner had 13, Greg.
I just got a text message from a friend, and he says he was surprised that you were able to get Ryan Zimmerman to talk to you because he knew somebody that grew up with Zimmerman. Zimmerman hates the media, but not you.
No, well, because Ryan Zimmerman and I always talk fantasy football.
Right.
So then he's always got time to talk some baseball with me. But I don't get the picture that Ryan Zimmerman hates the media. When I was there last week, he gave quality time to like everybody who approached his locker.
You know what? Maybe he's getting older. He's changed. But this is just texting.
He always talked to me.
Well, who doesn't want to talk to you? You're the king.
Because fantasy football gives you kind of a different angle.
God, I was kidding! We'll take a break.
So uptight.
You are so uptight, exactly. We'll take a break. We're going to come back. What do we do? It's O.J. Howard. The landing spot. Do we like it or do we love it? Because there's no way you don't like it. Stick around. There's more Roto Experts coming your way in hour number two next.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two. The Roto Experts in the Morning is live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Matt Modica, Scott Angle, Greg Sutton, no Corey Parson today. He will be here 10 a.m. Eastern Time for the old school fantasy hour, the OGs. Dr. A in studio, Scotty.
Yeah, Dr. A at 10 a.m. He's actually going to go over some of the rookies with injury concerns with Corey and Matt and the gang.
It'll be fun. I know you had a lot of fun with Jeff last time Dr. A was here. We'll bring Jeff back out. We'll talk about some of these guys who got drafted last night. I'm sure John Ross will come up, Corey Davis, some of these other guys whose injuries caused him to drop. Interestingly enough, O.J. Howard's not one of them. O.J. Howard didn't really have any injury concerns. He was an elite-level blocker, an elite-level receiver. He was one of the number one players on the board, if not the number one player on some team's board. He was rated as a top 10 pick, and as he kept falling as a Giant fan, I got all excited. But it never reached them as Tampa Bay snagged him at number 19. I'll go back in a moment, Matt, after the break and get back to the Bills. But at number 19, O.J. Howard goes to Tampa Bay. Modica, Mike Evans is there. Jameis Winston is there. And now you give him another huge target in O.J. Howard.
Yeah, there's a lot of weapons in Tampa Bay. A lot of people had Dalvin Cook going there. So that was a little bit of a surprise. Cameron Brate owners are taking a hit today. I mean, Brate played really well for them. He found the end zone about like 8 times last year. But this is a team filled with fantasy funness, goodness, whatever you want to use. Maybe I'm making up words now, but there's a lot to go around. I am going to have to break down. I mean, I still think Mike Evans is going to be a beast and one of the top wide receivers out there. But I do want to do a little bit of a deeper dive now.
I know you were the one that was not super in on O.J. Howard yesterday. Now that he's on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I know you're someone, and rightfully so, we don't do the tight end as a rookie thing because so rarely does it impact fantasy well. Like, I know Hunter Henry certainly had his glimpses last year, and it was almost an exception to the rule for a couple of weeks, and it turned around again when Antonio Gates returned. Now, O.J. Howard with Tampa Bay, a huge target, should be a red zone threat right away. What do you think about O.J. Howard's fantasy prospects?
Fantasy, I think, you know, all the skills are there, but that doesn't always translate with the tight ends. Like we said, they have Brate there, so they don't have to, like, you know, push him right into a prominent role. You know, did they run? How many two tight end sets did they run? You know, I still think this is a team, you know, Winston's still evolving as a passer. They don't need to rush him into a prominent role here, and you know, you can develop a Winston over time. So as great as all the scouting reports are, you know, I think he's going to get overdrafted in fantasy.
That is a good possibility. I mean, the Eagles, I think, were the team that did the two tight end sets the most last season. They did that a lot, actually. But, I mean, I like pretty much everybody. I do want to see if they get aggressive here today and try and move up in the second round and snag a running back. Of course, I mean, you still got Cook. You got Mixon. I think somebody's definitely taking Mixon today. So
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that.
Me neither.
I think he's definitely going today.
You know what? It's character against talent, and we have already seen character push these guys out of the first round when they were.
Yeah, but there's a big difference when you take that first round.
When a guy's got a strike like that against him, I say he doesn't go to at least the third round, which could still be today. It could be tonight. I agree with you, and fundamentally, it could go tonight, but I don't think it's the second round.
We got a bet to go.
You do a bet. Is it a bagel on Monday? Is that the bet?
It sounds good to me.
Yeah.
That's fine. That bagel place across the street is like addicting. It really is.
So is the bread factory.
Do you think that O.J. Howard will be overdrafted in fantasy like Scott? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do think he will be overdrafted. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how he's going to be used initially. Like I said, Cameron Brate was really good last year. I mean, he was really a factor. He was a guy that if you took late, or even if, say in some leagues, if you picked him up, he paid off a nice return on investment.
You know what? I think you're probably right. Like, you pick him up, it'll be a nice return on investment. Like, Cameron Brate was really, really good last year. He's not going anywhere. He's still there. Certainly, he's not going to keep O.J. Howard off the field by any means. But, Matt, you said it perfectly when you talked about this fantasy funness of Tampa Bay. They're going to be that team that everybody wants the piece of because they're going to score a lot, whether it's Mike Evans, Adam Humphries, Cameron Brate, or now O.J. Howard. The running game is certainly something they're going to have to figure out. I think they will. I think if they don't draft a Dalvin Cook, a Joe Mixon today, maybe we see Doug Martin, the Renaissance, you know, part three here with TB. But we'll see. It's going to be fun. Fun to watch.
Humphries is going to fade into the background as a guy who's more important in real life than fantasy.
You're probably right. You're probably right about that. All right. Take a break. We're going to come back. And I want to go backwards in the draft. Matt Modica, the Bills were up. And then they weren't. Just like that. We'll break it down when we come back
here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
We are back here on the Roto Experts. And in order for the Chiefs to move up, they needed a partner to move up with. That wound up being the Buffalo Bills. The Bills were sitting there, and Matt, you were emphatic on who you wanted in Corey Davis. Well, the Bills watched all three wide receivers go off the board before they picked. They didn't necessarily need a quarterback, as Tyrod Taylor was their guy. They were a team that was looking for more picks in this draft, that I believe only had six picks in this draft, that they wanted more currency for next year, and they got it. They got an extra first-round pick next year, an extra, what, third this year?
Yes, that is correct.
That's your third this year. So they picked up some nice real estate to go back like 17 picks, I think it was. So what did you think when the Bills were on the clock? What did you want them to do? And how did you react when they traded the pick?
After Williams was taken seventh, I was fine with them trading out. As I did mention, I would have been fine with O.J. Howard as well. The thing to me was they got the first-round pick for next year. That's great and stuff. We've missed the playoffs for the last 17 years. We've had the best running game for the last 2 years and still missed the damn playoffs. So I wanted somebody that could really enhance the passing game. And as when they passed on Howard and got that, you know, first and third-round pick, that was great. But as Howard continued to fall down the draft board, at some point I thought they should have been aggressive and moved up and got him. So I was a little disappointed in that.
You know, of course, I'm not the Bills fan. Like, I thought it was really good that they traded out because I thought the wide receiver was their target. Now, to be honest with you, I think if they wanted Howard, they would have just drafted him. They would have drafted him at 10.
No, you make a good point there. But they have, like, being that they got that second, third-round pick for this year, they have, like, three fifth-round picks. They could have been, you know, sometimes, you know, they could have gotten him at 18. You know, they had the 27th pick. They could have swapped that, threw in a third, a fifth. That kind of stuff. And then you still get the first pick for next year. You know, you've missed the playoffs for 17 years. Right. I don't want to worry about next year's first-round pick.
Right. And it's hard. And, of course, Scott, it's always a balancing act, right? It's a balancing act. That only thing is frustrating. It's a balancing act between the future and the now.
It always is, no matter... unless you're like a losing team that's consistently like the Browns. I mean, it's always about the future. And it's a balancing act, even for a team like the Texans between now and the future, because, you know, can this guy win now? And, you know, for winning teams, they have to look at the future. But maybe they need one piece that can, you know, push them further in a direction like right now, like we've been talking about the Texans. Can the rookie quarterback be that one piece? You know, and a lot of people are thinking with that with Houston.
Yeah, 100%. They thought that quarterback was the answer with Houston. Yeah, Matt.
Here's my point about with the Howard. Once we brought back Tyrod Taylor, we needed somebody there to take some pressure off of him as well. And a big tight end, a guy that could play every down, that could block, be in there all the time. I thought that would have been an ideal fit. Though, like I said, at 27, the guy they got, Tre'Davious White, I am kind of pleased.
They could still take a key offensive player in the second round.
I'm hoping it, you know, I'm kind of now with the guys that are still on the board, I'm kind of hoping they get Joe Mixon.
I know. I mean.
Yeah, but you already got LeSean McCoy.
LeSean McCoy's not going to play forever.
I know, but it's not like you have to replace him now, though.
Well, look, I'll get
another top
round,
pass catcher.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm looking at the guy from Penn State. I'm looking at the guy from SC. I think Joe Mixon, as horrible as he is as a human being, somebody's going to take him, and he's extremely talented, uber talented.
I think that's what happened with Tampa Bay, that like they took the best guy left on the board rather than filling a need, and that's kind of what you're talking about with Buffalo.
At this point, yeah, I just want to look. They had Sean McCoy last year. They had Gillislee last year, so you could put Mixon in that mix and, you know, get him going. And he's a guy that can catch the ball. He's really good at catching the ball.
Matt just wants skill position players. Yeah, but Matt wants fun.
I want dynamic.
Don't you want a physical back to, like, compliment LeSean McCoy if they're going to take a running back?
I don't think LeSean McCoy. I mean, how many more years is LeSean? I mean, I don't see.
I know. I understand that, but what I'm saying is, Gillis Lee was kind of like that goal line guy. Don't you want somebody?
Well,
we got
John Williams on the roster. Jonathan Williams on the roster, so he's supposed to be that guy that's going
to
take that thing.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think they should be drafting a pass catcher if it's somebody on offense.
I don't dispute that, but I just want the most talented guy there is.
All right, continuing on here. That was all the picks that were like a lot of these defensive guys fell. Like Malik Hooker really fell at 15 with the Colts. Nice job there. Jonathan Allen, who people had going to literally everyone locked into the Jags at 4, goes all the way at 17. To Washington. Major shoulder concerns with Jonathan Allen, but a really good pick by Washington. We mentioned O.J. Howard at 19. The first offensive lineman goes to Denver. We knew they were going to take an offensive lineman. We weren't sure which one. As a Giants fan, I know they were interested in Garrett Bowles, and the Giants pick was coming up, so I was hoping it wasn't Bowles. Jarrad Davis, another guy the Giants are interested in going at 21. Does anyone have anything to say about all these types of guys?
I have one thing to say about Hooker. If you watched, I did get to see John Gruden to his analysis on him.
Yeah.
And he kind of tore him apart. He kind of said he takes terrible angles, and it was just...
Well, I appreciate when these guys say they suck, so that's cool. Yeah.
It was... I thought that was funny. I had to throw that one in. Allen was a great pick by the Redskins, and how the hell did Forster last 31?
We'll get the 31 in a few moments, and the answer is this terrible, terrible offseason. Cost himself like $7 million, $17 million, something like that. Scotty, anything with these picks that interest you?
I was focusing a lot.
Talk on the mic, buddy.
I was focusing a lot on the offensive picks here. I like who Buffalo got. The Raiders pick was very interesting. Obviously, it just drew a ton of controversy here. And other than that, you know, not anything that really jumped out to me. I thought maybe one or two more offensive linemen might have went in the round, and you know, I was a little surprised that Cook didn't go, you know, in the first round.
I mean, I think the wild card player of this first round, and I mean, look, hey, the Browns got a ton of speed now. Was Peppers? I mean, where is he going to play exactly? I mean, they can use him in so many different ways. He might even see some offensive snaps. So, I mean, that's the wild card guy. And as far as, like, character issues and stuff, I don't know the kid. And from everything I've heard, he's come straight out and denounced it. With Conley. So, I don't know how Forster goes behind Conley. And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, and the Saints getting Marshawn Lattimore after not, you know, making that deal to get Malcolm Butler. And, you know, this kid that the Jets got, Adams, you know, can be a real difference maker here. But you know, I think the Jets might go offense in second, third round.
Jets, of course, you need to get better, right? They just need better players in general.
Yeah.
All right, then you get to number 23, which is the Giants. So I can, you know, spew here.
Spew.
I'm getting comfortable for this one. It's very interesting because O.J. Howard's there at 19. And I had heard from all the Giants beat reporters that if he started dropping, the Giants would seriously consider moving up. And there he is now, what, 4 picks away? And I'm like, holy crap. Like, give up whatever to move 4 picks up and go get clearly the best guy in this draft at this point. Clearly fills a need. And this is a spot that's great. And then Jerry Reese says, we never even considered it. If you're not considering it, what are you doing? The Giants have made 4 trades in 11 years under Jerry Reese. Now, he's got a very good first round draft pick track record outside of Eric Flowers. But are you kidding me? For the second consecutive year, they telegraphed exactly what they wanted to do when it came to Garrett Bowles or Jarrad Davis, the two guys that were high, and O.J. Howard, 3 of the guys that were highest on their boards at the time. They let them all go one by one. God bless you. No, you're excused. Don't worry. One by one, they let them all go. When all these guys are gone, much like Matt's Bills did, the Giants should have traded back. When they realized all the guys that were in this top tier on their board were gone, they should have traded back. Instead, as they do every year, and of course, the Giants have never traded back under Jerry Reese. Never. Not one time in any damn round have they traded back. Never. Seahawks have done it 6 times in 7 years.
The Patriots do it consistently.
The Seahawks have done it 5 times in 6 years in the first round.
Yeah.
The Giants haven't done it in any round in 11 years.
The Patriots are always trading back. And you heard so much chatter about teams trading back, you know, in this draft because it's starting to become more in vogue to stockpile the picks and do your studying and get values later.
Instead, the Giants feel when it's their pick, they need to make their pick. So they sat there, and the highest guy on their board evidently was Evan Ingram. Yeah. To be honest with you, Evan Ingram was a name that I had seen going in the second round. I had not read anything about him because I didn't think it was a possibility. Now, the most commonly mocked player to the Giants from the experts actually was a tight end. Just wasn't this tight end. It was David Njoku, who winds up going to Cleveland a little bit later, which I feel bad for our boy Gary Barnage about. But it was, they drafted Evan Ingram, and I was shocked and annoyed and not happy. But as a true Giants fan and a true football fan, I got myself like real excited in like 6 minutes. So I'll explain why, what I'm excited about when we come back. Road Rush, the morning rolls on right after this. So the more I read about Evan Ingram, the more consistency I heard from the Giants beat reporters. Basically, and his post comes from both Jordan Renan and Daniel Duggan just a couple minutes ago. Renan says, quote, "I'm not down on the pick. Ingram may be a stud. I don't know. I'm down on the process slash strategy that was employed. It was flawed." Dan Duggan, seconds later, "I'm not down on Ingram. He'll make the offense better. Just think there are other options Reese could have and should have explored." Jerry Reese has no idea how to operate a draft. It's very, very clear. It's very embarrassing, too, and very, very frustrating. But nevertheless, that's over. Evan Ingram's their guy. And he's talented. He's basically a receiver. He doesn't block. He's just the guy that can go down the middle and catch the football. That got me excited.
I actually saw a comparison to Jimmy Graham.
Consistent comparison I saw was Jordan Reed. Everyone compared him to Jordan Reed. It was like, okay, you stay healthy, you're Jordan Reed.
Yeah, healthy Jordan Reed. Yeah.
Here's the line. Here's the line that really excited me. Here we go. Evan Ingram had a faster 40 time than Odell Beckham Jr. Remember those tweets I read the other day about Odell? You give me that line, I feel amazing.
Look, it's about surrounding, you know, Odell with more complimentary parts here. And you got Sterling Shepard coming on very nicely. They got Brandon Marshall for a year or two now. And then you had this kid, too. It's like you got a very diverse passing game. You know, it's like Eli's window is sort of closing here. And it'd be interesting to also see if the Giants take a quarterback today or tomorrow. You know, they look towards the future.
You know, it's interesting because Eli, the window is closing. He's old. He's 36 years old. But they've done nothing to help him on the offensive line, right? Like, when he gets sacked repeatedly because they've done nothing to address the offensive line, this stupid regime in New York, we're going to blame Eli for some reason because it's his fault that they don't have an offensive line, Matt.
Well, the Mike Mayock analysis, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just two little points here. He says his skill set is closer to Mike Evans. He runs like a wide receiver. I don't care what you call him. That's...
I like Mike Evans, too.
Yeah.
The Giants could be a lot of fun to watch with this offense.
Talk about fantasy funness.
Yep. Yeah. The Giants could be... And even when the Giants were winning Super Bowls, they weren't all that exciting. They were like a plodding team on offense that, you know, would run it with defense.
Kim Jones just tweeted out, text to a talent evaluator I trust. Does Evan Ingram really compare to Jordan Reed? Yeah, but faster.
A faster Jordan Reed?
Sussmania has
been tough on defenses.
Has done a quick 180.
Yes, thanks to social media.
Now we can only sign like Andrew Whitworth away from whatever team he just signed with. That would be cool.
Well, you know, they can address the line tonight.
There's no linemen in this draft. That's a problem.
Well, they're not dominant linemen in this draft.
There's somebody that winds up, you know.
Yeah, all right.
You want to get some solid players, and I think, you know, they do exist. It's not the glamour of going in the first round. There were a lot of linemen that, like, they said this is not top-heavy offensive linemen, but there are some good ones left.
Yes. Yes. I'm sure they'll find somebody that can play, hopefully, maybe one day.
And I agree with Scott. At some point, they will address the quarterback situation. I mean, I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe not today. Like, maybe not until next year, but at some point they will.
Who knows? Maybe around 2 and 3, they go to offensive line quarterback.
Yep. We'll find out. The draft continued because after O.J. Howard went and after Eric Ingram went, we saw the Raiders grab Garrett Conley, the guy that, you know, had a lot of had the rape allegations against him this week, passed the polygraph administered earlier. The Browns traded back up. They traded back a little later. This pick, they got drafted Jabril Peppers, the all-everything guy from Michigan. I was with a Michigan kid. He went crazy when Jabril Peppers was drafted, which was cool. Falcons traded up desperately, and they get their guy, and they gave him the Bills, Matt. Was this the guy you were hoping for, expecting? What were you thinking here?
I think that this is a really solid pick, considering that, you know, that they stayed at 27 and stuff. Getting a guy like this who is an SEC veteran, four-year starter. I mean, there's nothing more you can really ask. He was a team leader, and that was a huge hole for them to fill. There was something they needed to do. So if we weren't going to get that impact offensive player, I want somebody that could step right in, fill that position, fill that void. So I'm happy with that.
They really needed the help at quarterback, and you know, this kid's a 4-year starter and he's got great technique.
The Seahawks at this point, Scotty, they traded down. They traded down and,
again.
And you were not surprised remotely. And then they went up trading down again. And I'm sure you weren't surprised at all. You probably expected it at that point.
Yeah, it's kind of like when I watch the draft, it'll be like, oh, we got no first-round pick. Ah, bummer. But, you know, you look at the Seahawks' history, and a lot of their superstars have, like, not been first-round picks. Yeah. Like, Richard Sherman was a fifth-rounder. I think Bobby Wagner wasn't a first-rounder. Russell Wilson, third-rounder. Doug Baldwin, your guy, undrafted. So, you know, John Schneider and Pete Carroll together have had just, like, such a sterling track record overall of drafting guys. So now they pick second tonight. And look, I don't think that the Packers are going to go either position that they want. I think they're probably going to take either Forrest Lamp, the offensive guard from Western Kentucky, who's like the best offensive lineman regarded left, and there were some mocks that had him going in the first. Or Kevin King, the quarterback from Washington, you know, could actually stay home. And Pete Carroll's got a great relationship with his head coach, because people always talk about the offensive line necessarily, but they do have two picks in that second round. You know, they got that, and they got somewhere in the 50s, I think like 52. So they could go. I think they might go cornerback, offensive line in this round, because you look at like somebody was saying to me yesterday, say, "Whoa, think." Get rid of, what if they draft a cornerback and they get Richard Sherman? Get rid of Richard Sherman. Say, no, they want to address that corner spot across from Sherman, because when teams play the Seahawks, they don't go after Sherman and they constantly throw to the other side. They've been doing that since 2004, ever since Byron Maxwell left. They really haven't replaced him effectively. Maxwell was like the perfect guy in the system and got exposed when they moved him out of the system and out of the teams. Right now, you're like top guy if he's healthy, like Deshaun Shedd. You want him more as a nickelback. You know, Jeremy Lane it would give the secondary a heck of a lot of depth if they picked Kevin King.
And there you go. There's your Seahawks breakdown from the King.
Yeah.
And number 29.
Kevin King for the King. Maybe if Kevin King becomes a Seahawk,
buy a Seahawks jersey.
I'll just buy a Seahawks jersey. He'll say King on the back.
I like that.
Yeah.
David Njoku.
You would hate that.
I wouldn't care. By the Cleveland Browns.
Because you say that like you can't stand people like wear their names on the back of the put their own names on the back of the uniform.
Well, yeah, but that's not really, number one, it's not really your name.
True.
Number two, it would actually be a player. So, anyway, David Njoku goes at 29 overall. We had just talked to Gary Barnidge last week, and we didn't really think tight end was possible for Cleveland. And here they go. They trade back up into the first round. They draft Njoku from Miami. Flawed at tight end. There are certainly issues with him at the tight end position. But Cleveland gets three picks. They get, you know, two defensive players, Jabril Peppers and Myles Garrett. And they come back with a tight end Njoku. What did you think of that one, Matt?
I actually like it. I mean, the kid's 20 years old. So, I mean, they don't have to just rush him, throw him into the fire. The quarterback situation's a disaster. Let him learn. Let him get the tutelage of a proven NFL player like a Gary Barnidge. But I think this is a kid in a couple of years that will definitely be a top tight end.
Well, we'll see. Obviously, teams like this need everything, right? So kind of build from the ground up. At pick 30, you had J.J. Watt's little brother go, T.J. Watt. San Francisco gets a lot of credit for going back up for Reuben Foster. I know, Matt, you were shocked that he was still here. I know he's top 10 talent. According to Adam Schefter, San Francisco traded back up for a guy they considered in the top five at one point. Obviously, he had a very tumultuous offseason. He goes at 31, so they get Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster in this draft.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen people compare him to like Luke Kuechly and stuff. And the fact that he went behind J.J. Watt's brother is a little shocking to me. I know he was making transformations at Wisconsin from, you know, offense to defense and stuff. So he's not a finished product. And
right.
Maybe in a couple of years he'll be a hell of a lot better. But I don't know. Taking him over Foster is a little perplexing to me, even with a shoulder issue.
The final pick of the first round, Ryan Ramczyk, who I assume I'm saying correctly, but I'm sure I'm going to get a text from Jake any second. New Orleans Saints offensive tackle, the last pick of the round, of course, in the pick that should have been the Patriots, traded for Brandon Cooks. Ramczyk, offensive line help, certainly something New Orleans needed. Makes sense to me, Scotty.
Yeah, but they seemed like they needed defense more. You know, he was one of the best linemen there in the draft, but you know, some of the people follow the Saints saying they probably should have spent another pick on defense there, even though they got Lattimore early in the round.
Yeah, you know, defense is always a struggle for New Orleans, but they also need an offensive line. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, you know, you want to continue to protect. You know, Zach Strief is getting up there in age, so they got to replace him.
Yeah. So, with that being said, we turn our eyes to round number 2 and 3. Of course, that starts tonight. And I'm sure, Matt, you know this from working a real job. Like, oh my God, it's 6 o'clock and the draft's already starting. And you're like, whoa, this is like kind of crazy. Here, we'll be home, but we'll be ready to go. And how about this? The King knows his team. I'm on the MMQB now, SI. Number 34 overall, the Seattle Seahawks select.
The King.
Kevin King, cornerback, Washington. We'll see if it works.
I think everybody's going to be like, especially average NFL fan, why didn't they take the lineman? Why didn't they take the lineman? And you know, I think they got a second pick in that second round. I think they probably scouted deep. And you know, Tom Cable's known for like being this offensive line guru. The problem with the line is, though, is that they're taking like total trash and asking him to like turn defensive linemen into offensive linemen and taking guys who have never played football before, like the guy left tackle last year. He can take a second or third round pick and do something with it. You know, it's like they have two good linemen right now in Britt and Glenowski, you know, but they need more than that.
Well, I think the 6 o'clock, I want to be sitting down and watching this somewhere because I'm interested. What are the Packers going to do? I mean, you got Cook. You got
Mixon.
Mixon's been tied to them as well. So I think they got to take one of those two guys.
I'll tell you this. Monday morning quarterback has them taking a cornerback, Scotty. So I know you said they don't really need a quarterback. MMQB has them projected to take a cornerback, in Chidobe Awuzie. So we'll see. I'm also very, very excited to watch it. It's going to make for a fun evening. And for the record, MMQB has Joe Mixon in the second round, number 41, to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Damn it. Not a bill.
We will see what takes place tonight in the NFL Draft. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the Morning coming your way. In the morning, coming up next, OG's Old School Fantasy. Dr. A in the house today. Corey Parson, Matt Modica, George Kurtz will have you covered. Then, Matty Mo, the draft, we're looking at mock drafts, and very excited. Are you gonna sit and watch the draft tonight? Like, I know the first round is like the first round. How much do you sit and watch the second and third and the rest of the draft?
I do like to watch the second and third. I do have to do some research for tomorrow, get my rankings in line for the mock draft that will start at noon tomorrow. So I'm excited. I will try and get as much as possible to watch it. I'll be at mom's, so
right, of course.
We'll try and finagle as much as it in
there. Yeah, I have. I'm going out to dinner tonight at some point. Maybe I also have a
order in.
You probably both have this. You're married, so you have this problem, both of you. Like I have a my girlfriend's like friend's surprise party. I'm not friends with these people. Like, I don't know anybody. Like, I don't want to go.
I usually find a way to get out of that.
It's my girlfriend's friend who she doesn't. It's not even like a good friend. It's just a friend. It's a surprise party, and I have to go. I don't know anybody there. It's like a real friend's. Like, if it was a real friends who I'm like friends with, like, it's fine. Like, you know everybody. I don't know these people.
Meet new people though.
I don't want
make new friends.
You know what? I got enough friends. I got enough friends.
That's a funny answer.
It's the truth.
But you know what? I have to go to support your lady. She wants you to go, so you go.
You could always develop food poisoning at some
point. I'm trying to. Scott, how much do you watch the second and third round and the rest of the draft here?
I'll probably watch the second and third round, but not 4 through 7. I'll probably like get recapped all of that online.
What are you going to do tonight instead?
Tonight?
Yeah.
No, I said I'll watch.
You watch tonight and tomorrow. Okay.
I'll watch. Second and third round, but I won't go too deep after that though. Necessarily, probably go see my mom this weekend.
Very nice.
And then, we got the father and son fantasy NASCAR hour this weekend. We're going to Richmond. So for those of you racing, you want to get Denny Hamlin in your lineup.
We definitely needed to get that in there.
Yes.
Hey, the Roto Experts exclusive edge package is available right now at rotoexperts.com. Use free radio when you check out. You get fantastic insight from our guy, Michael Florio, as well as the King Scott Angle, Frank Stanfill, who you can hear on the Fantasy Best Friends Forever.
Wait a minute. Are we doing what I think we're doing?
Well, it's Friday, Scott. You're back on the Roto Experts. This is how we end the week.
Yes. Wow, I haven't done this in a long time.
Mike Florio, what's poppin'?
What's up, guys?
How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. We're doing good.
Good to see you.
Scott's just shocked that his wire is completely twirled in his finger now. He's nervous.
I'm nervous.
You can see the nerves.
Although I've won this a few times, though, but DK has dominated the game.
You haven't played again.
This is for an intern champ, right?
Oh, I'm the champion.
This is for an intern
actually,
champ.
Corey, actually, the fantasy executive.
The fantasy executive is the defending champion in this game right now, so you know.
I thought he was a defending champion everywhere.
Well, he is. But actually, right now, he is the defending champion. So what is happening right now? You are playing for the interim championship.
Or is the belt vacated?
No, it's not vacated because Corey will be back. But this is for the interim is Mike Lyon Championship.
All right, whatever.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
All right. Do we have music? We do.
Who's going to go first?
Well, Mike, you could choose. You're up here with us for once. You could choose.
We go right or left?
We go like this.
You'll start first.
I'll start first. Okay. Yeah. So we'll start first. I'll go first. Matt second, and Scott's third.
Yep. The king gets to go last.
King gets to go last. All right. Here we go. Let's do it.
Irving Santana leads all qualified starters in strand rate.
Irving Santana leads all qualified starters in strand rate. Sounds true.
I'll say false.
False.
It is false.
Okay.
One pitcher has higher.
Don't say anything. It's my turn first, Modica. Please. One pitcher has higher. He doesn't know. I don't understand. Irving doesn't know any runs. How is?
His strand rate is 99%.
99%.
There was somebody with 100, right?
Somebody has 99%.
Yes.
90. I knew it was like that. So there's a guy with 100. So there's a guy that literally hasn't allowed a run all year. Basically.
Well, hasn't allowed a run of someone who
on base. He could allow a home run.
Right. Right. I understand. I understand how shit it works. He means he's let a runner on base, but they haven't come around to score. I don't know who the hell that is. That person probably is named something like Jesse Hahn.
No.
Okay.
I thought Matt knew it.
No, I didn't know. I knew there was somebody with like 100. So that's why I knew the first
one
was
false.
So
annoying, because I feel like true was the right answer, because like 99%.
You know what? I really don't know it. So I'm just going to say Noah Syndergaard.
No.
Wade Miley?
No.
All right. I will go around one more time.
Okay.
Let's see here. You say the League of the American League?
The MLB.
MLB, okay. I will change my answer then. And we will instead have to go with Brandon McCarthy.
No, not a bad guess.
Okay. I'm just pulling names out of my ass.
Max Scherzer?
No.
Jeremy Hellickson?
No.
All right.
Dallas Keuchel.
Oh, all right. That's cool.
Did you give up two solos?
That's cool. Dallas Keuchel. All right. Scotty with one. Matty with one. We go to question number two.
Of players to advance, LeBron James led them all in points per game in round one.
False.
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 It is false. One player has more.
Matt, you're up first.
James Harden.
Yes.
James Harden. Speaking of my week, Scott.
Yes.
Thank you.
Trying to keep score. Trying to.
That is an extra point for Matt Modiga, which is a BS question because he went first. It was very obvious it was James Harden. It's just a joke.
I don't even watch basketball.
It was only.
Yes, you watch basketball.
It was less than half a point apart,
how
though. I thought it was.
How come you're not playing?
I am playing.
Yeah. Forget it.
Okay. Nevertheless.
Is that a joke at like he's in last, so he's not even playing?
No, forget it.
Nevertheless, Matt has three, Scotty has two, and I have one, and we go.
Scotty Angle's up first, right?
To question number three with Scott.
Eric Thames leads the league in hard hit rate.
True.
Eric Thames leads the league in hard hit rate. False.
False.
It is false.
It is.
There's indeed. Actually six hitters with higher.
Ha-ha! Scotty.
Ryan Zimmerman.
No.
Bryce Harper.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
That seems... That
Miguel
seems...
Sano.
No.
All right, go around one more time. Scott.
I'm sorry, I think there's five players with higher. Sorry. Five.
Okay, that's fine.
Chris Owings.
No.
That would have been crazy. Aaron Judge.
No.
All right.
Surprising.
I think it's one or two Tigers.
Don't say it. No reaction, please, in the face.
No reaction.
I know the catcher has 48.5% or had something like that. You know what? I'm going to stay with him. I'm going to say James McCann.
Eric Thames is 50%, so no.
Okay. Well,
Castellanos?
I was going to say Castellanos.
Joey Gallo?
I don't know if he's talking yet.
I just wanted to read.
It's great.
Joey Gallo, Corey Seager, Michael Brantley, and Marcelo Zuna.
All right, I wasn't going to take any of those people, so that's fine.
Michael Brantley.
All right, so the scores are Matt has four, Scotty has two, and I have two.
Yep.
All right, question number four.
According to UberFacts,
yes.
Drinking beer actually helps strengthen your bones.
Oh, that's true.
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 Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I know. That's why I drink a lot of beer. It's strengthening my bones.
Too easy.
Wow, the king. Yeah. Five for Matt. Three for Scotty. Three for Greggy. Question number five.
Corey Davis is only the second wide receiver from the Mid-American Conference ever selected in the first round.
Well, I think I know the other one. So, I'm going to say... False.
True.
I'll say false.
It's true. Should I tell you guys the other one? Or... seems like a hard question to kind of guess.
Is the answer like someone we know?
Yes.
Randy Moss?
It's Randy Moss?
Yes.
Yeah. I knew Randy Moss. I knew it was Randy Moss. I just thought that maybe there was somebody else. That's probably what you thought, too.
Jake Seeley just texted me, true, Moss.
Well, so I knew... I think we all knew Randy Moss was the guy. We just thought that maybe there's another one other than Moss. All right. Scotty, you, sir, have 4 points. Matty has 5 points. I have 3 points. And we head to question number six.
Of players to advance, Draymond Green led them all in assists.
Scott?
True.
False.
False.
It is false. One player that has advanced has more.
One player has advanced has more. I'll go with James Harden. Oh, I'll go with James Harden.
No.
Oh, I was supposed to go first anyway, so Scotty.
Isaiah Thomas.
Hasn't advanced
yet.
He
has not advanced yet.
Oh.
Matt?
Clay Thompson from the start.
No.
We'll go around again.
I don't know.
He's passing.
You passing?
Yeah, pass.
Kyle Lowry?
No.
Steph Curry?
They advanced last night. No.
I was right where they advanced.
Yeah, my bad.
Jeez,
I forgot.
Dude.
It's LeBron James. Nine. It's but annoying. Players who have more and haven't advanced yet, John Wall, Russell Westbrook didn't advance, Chris Paul, and Rajon Rondo.
Yeah, makes sense. You got that. We got that.
The
right
score
wrong.
Is you one. Two each have four.
Okay, and Matt has six. Matt has six. So 6-4-4. Question number 7, and I'm up first.
Solomon Thomas.
Yes, of course.
Is the only non QB player taken from Stanford as in the top 5 in the Common Era. It's a little bit to that question. You want me to read it again?
The what era?
Common, which is since 1967, according to...
Solomon Thomas is the only player from Stanford in the Common Era to go in the top 5. Not That's not a quarterback. Yes. The question. True.
I said true as well.
False.
It's true.
It's true.
They said that last night during the draft.
Did they?
Yeah.
So I got to give Maddie
so
a
Matt
point.
Has 7. Greg has 5. Scott has 4.
According to UberFacts,
Modicus.
Mila Kunis continued to work at Rite Aid even after starring in That 70s Show.
Oh. Okay.
True.
False.
True. Sounds right.
It is true. Yeah. She was an ice cream server.
That's very nice, Mila. 8 points for Matt. 6 points for Greg. 4 points for the King as we head to question number 9.
James Paxton is the only qualified starting pitcher yet to allow a home run.
God, I wish Matt answered this before I did, just so, because he knows the answer to any James Paxton question. Scott, whenever you're ready.
True.
He was trying to stare down Modica and
I love it.
The answer from him.
I love it. All right, James Paxton, the only starting pitcher not to allow a home run, is the question?
Yes.
False.
I'm going to say false as well.
It is false.
There had to be another pitcher that has a lot of
two others.
Okay.
All right. So Scott goes first.
Jeremy Hellickson.
No.
Scott is sticking to Jeremy Hellickson.
I'll stick with mine. Irvin Santana.
No.
Damn it.
I'll stick with the guy that said Noah Syndergaard.
Correct.
God. Scott.
There's one more.
There's one more.
This is the harder one to get.
Chris Sale.
No.
Oh, that wasn't hard. Brandon McCarthy.
No.
Starting pitcher.
If Matt gets this one right now, I'll be impressed.
Starting pitcher. Wade Miley.
No.
We'll go around one more time.
One more time?
Yeah, why not? We'll do the last question after the break.
You already said Irvin Santana. Ian Kennedy.
No.
This is the harder one, he says. So, it's going to be some schmuckhead.
I know the answer. I'm trying to psych you out.
I don't think
I think it works, though, because Greg
gets
pissed.
I am so psyched. I am. I'm psyched out. Starting pitcher allowed a home run. It's probably Jesse Chavez.
No.
Jason Vargas?
No.
That was pretty easy. What's the answer, Mike?
Mike Leake.
Mike Leake, wow. So going to the final question.
Off to a good start.
Final question. I think Matt has...
27.
9?
9.
I have 6, I think.
6,
9,
4.
6, 4. One more question to go. And that comes your way. Hopefully it's a false, and I get a shitload of points in this question. That's coming your way next. You're on the Rush Push in the Morning. All right, the scores are 9 for Matt Modica, 6 for Greg, 4 for Scott Engel, who's effectively been eliminated, but I feel like he was never really in the game anyway.
But he's dancing.
He's always dancing. Final couple minutes of the show, of the week, here on the Roto Express, Florio, the final question, and I'm going to have to pull some crap out here. Let's do it.
Avisel Garcia leads the league in BABIP.
I am up first. That sounds false.
That is false.
Oh my god, that is false. Oh my god.
False.
It is false.
I hate that.
He is second.
He knows this. He's second, so I only have one person.
I had tiebreakers if you want.
Oh, I thought tie. He knows the answer too. Alright, this guy
I think I know the
leads I'm up first, people. Leads the league in, as Scott would say, BABIP. Leads the league in BABIP. That player is I don't know, Eric Thames?
No.
Okay.
I know he's got a really. How about we go Bryce Harper?
No.
Steven Sosa Jr.
No. Not bad. I feel like all Scott's, good guesses.
I feel like Scott's got like a 446. He knows. Scott is shocked he got this run wrong just now.
Yeah. Avigal Garcia's is 462.
Ooh. Okay.
So someone higher than that.
Higher than 462. That's quite high.
I have another guess.
Okay, well, when it's your turn, you can guess. is a person allowed to be on the DL now? Is that a rule?
I mean, as long as they qualify.
Oh, okay. I wasn't
sure. Trying to get a hint from you.
I was.
I know.
Yeah. I was.
I don't think I gave him one.
He did. He's just definitely not Mitch Haniger now.
I really hope it's Mitch Haniger.
You know who it is, so yeah. I will go with a qualify.
The more you, Tom, you take, the longer Matt gets.
That's fine. I understand how the rules work here. It's not Bryce Harper. Oh wow. I was gonna say Bryce. I legitimately have no idea. So I'll just throw out a name and we'll hope we're right. Matt Davidson.
No.
Okay.
That I was not expecting that.
No.
How about Daniel Murphy?
No.
Cesar Hernandez?
No.
Okay, we'll keep going around. We have another minute here, right? Might as well.
You guys should just rapid fire name.
Okay, well, I don't have the name. Jake Lamb.
No.
Ryan Zimmerman.
No.
That's what I was going to say.
Ryan Zimmerman, that was a good guess, too.
He's just going with Nats after the Colorado
week. He's smart. That's why he wins this game.
Trey Turner.
No.
All right, what's the answer?
Zach Cozart.
Okay. Oh. Yeah. I think Matt Davidson wasn't a bad guess.
No.
We think of good players. We usually don't think of Cozart. That's why.
That's because he's not good. Yeah. That means your winner and interim champion, Matt Modica.
Next week he gets the executive.
Next week you get the fantasy executive. But until then, we appreciate you playing. For Matt Modica, for Scott Engel, for Michael Florio, I'm Greg Sussman. Coming up next to the OGs, Dr. A is back in studio to break down the NFL draft. Until Monday morning, have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy the draft. Enjoy the warm weather. And we'll see you back here Monday morning at 8 a.m. Bye-bye.